Sinclair Stratton, 5th Viscount Reith, knocked on the parlour door. He desperately needed to get out of Portsmouth and on his way. It had taken him 10 years to own his youthful indiscretion and do something about it. Now that he'd finally made the move, he wanted it done with, quickly. A middle-aged maid in a white mob cap peeked around the door.
Yes?
I am Viscount Reith, he informed the woman. I need to speak with your mistress. She disappeared back into the room, mostly closing the door behind her. He could hear her whispering frantically to someone inside. The door was opened once again, this time by a young lady in a plain navy blue gown, dressed for travel. Considering how much he had paid for the conveyance Reith was after, she could not be in difficult circumstances, despite her ugly, well-worn clothing. What struck Reith, however, was not so much her dress as her lovely face. Brilliant blue eyes shone intelligently from behind incredibly long dark lashes. The slight curve to her full yet determined lips, a quirk of an eyebrow. She most definitely looked like someone used to being in charge, despite her obvious youth.
Yes?
Good morning, miss, Reith said, bowing. I was wondering if I might have a word. Her second eyebrow rose to meet the height of the first, but she took a step back and allowed him to enter the cramped room. She did not seem like one who needed to be fawned over and flattered, so he got straight to the point. It is my understanding that you have secured the very last carriage in all of this unfortunate city. I would like to rent it from you.
Really?
She said, folding her arms across her slender body.
Yes, I have a matter of some urgency to which I must attend. Unfortunately, my letter to my man of affairs did not reach here before I did, so I'm without my own transportation. You understand, I'm sure.
The girl said nothing.
I will not disturb you with the particulars, but please be assured that I will see to your comfort during your stay here. Tomorrow you should be able to procure another conveyance.
He gave her an encouraging smile. Still, she said nothing. But he detected a slight twitch of her lips. Was she laughing at him? As I said, I have an urgent meeting. He paused and then decided to try another tack.
Perhaps you didn't catch my name. I am Viscount Reith.
She tilted her head, waiting for him to continue. He straightened his back, squared his shoulders, and took a small step toward the girl.
I just returned from India, and I have urgent matters of state to which I must attend.
All right, a slight fib. More like matters of estate than state, but the girl would never know the difference.
That is 3 times now that you've mentioned urgent matters, she pointed out, now openly smiling at him,
laughing at him. Reith couldn't quite decide which. One thing was certain, though, she was not at all intimidated by him. It was the strangest thing. Never had anyone dared such a thing, only his closest friends, and this young woman was far from that. He wasn't sure why, but he couldn't help but return her smile.
Indeed, I beg your pardon. I'm afraid it is my desperation which has robbed my speech of its usual...
He floundered for a word.
Eloquence?
She offered. He gave a little laugh.
Yes. I see.
Thank you. Your understanding is greatly appreciated. If you will just tell me your name, I will make arrangements for you to stay the night in the best room this fine establishment can offer.
She dropped her hands to her sides. Oh, I was not agreeing to your preposterous idea. I was simply stating that I understood your predicament. How very vexing to have somewhere you must get to, and no conveyance to get you there. Yes, it is quite frustrating. However, unfortunately, I too have somewhere I must get to, and so I'm afraid I cannot give up my post-chaise to you. I am very sorry. Perhaps you can find someone else.
She started moving towards the door in obvious dismissal.
There is no one else, he said. You are the only person who has rented a carriage who is still here,
he said with an edge of frustration in his voice. He cleared his throat. It would not do to appear desperate. He was a Reith. He was never desperate.
Well, that is truly unfortunate. In that case, you might not want to delay in engaging that room for yourself.
She opened the door and stood next to it, clearly waiting for him to leave. Wreath did not give up so easily, no matter how beautiful or well-spoken his opponent was.
I'm afraid I must not have explained myself well enough. You are American, are you not?
The young woman crossed her arms again, this time narrowing her eyes as well. She gave a slight nod of her head.
Then perhaps you haven't quite understood. I am a viscount, a nobleman, a lord. I need to get to an extremely urgent meeting.
That is the fourth time you have said so, she said, interrupting him.
I may be American, sir, but I am not an idiot. I know very well what a viscount is. Lesser than a duke, marquis, or earl. Higher in rank than a baron. No, I'm afraid you are the one who is unable to understand. I couldn't care less if you were a count or a cobbler. If you were the prince, or even that lunatic you call king. I would see no reason why your business is any more important than mine. And if you continue to argue with me, sir, I may simply consign you to the fiery depths of...
That is enough, Miss Sarah. I'm certain the gentleman understands your meaning, her maid interrupted.
The rebuke didn't seem to faze the young woman at all. She didn't even turn to look at the maid, or perhaps companion. Governess? Instead, she raised her eyebrows silently, asking whether he did in fact understand. It was a good thing that he was a gentleman. It was the only thing keeping him from acting on the fury now burning in the pit of his stomach at this chit's extraordinarily rude behaviour. Americans.